Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Annie, the radio chick, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon. It's 34 degrees in Michigan right now, so it's very cold. I'm sure it's much nicer in Carolina, but doing well. Very, 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 very excited to have our guest on. I'm always excited whenever we have a veteran or any person affiliated with the military, but I really like it when it's somebody with a great idea, to which I think I'd like to talk to him because I think he stole my idea. I want royalties. But I'm really excited about today's show.
All right, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. And you know what? The opening song is composed and sung by Don Fortney. He lives out here in South Carolina with us. His website is teapartymusic.webs.com. The only reason why I'm mentioning it is I noticed someone in the chat room was repeating the lyrics to the song.
Yeah,
so I
wow.
just wanted to put a push out there for Don Fortney and his Tea Party Music. But you, we do have an exciting guest here. You know, it's in the 80s here in South Carolina, and Rick below in Florida says it's 85 and sunny. Rick Rosado parked his tank in the chat room also. He said it's 80, Myrtle Beach. So we don't feel sorry for you up there.
Oh, gee, thanks. Both Ricks and you.
Well, let's bring our guest on. I do have two announcements to make real quick. Again, this is going to be this Saturday, tomorrow. My friend Jim Tapscott in Ramona, California, has his State of the State event for the Ramona Teed Party, and that's T-E-A-D, as in teed off. For more information on this, go to ramonateed.com. This will be doors opening at 11 a.m., and the program begins at 12 noon sharp at 626 Main Street, Ramona, California. And, yes, there are Tea Party people in California. And the other one is this the week of April 23rd to the 27th here in Buford. This is the Healing Heroes Golf Week, which promises to raise $17,000 to give a severely wounded veteran a paramobile device, which is a device that helps them get up and more mobile. It's hosted by the Independence Fund. For more information, you can go to independencefund.org or to LDW3. That's the number 3, LDW3.com, which stands for Lieutenant Dan Weekend Number 3. So if you're in the South Carolina area, please join us for the Healing Heroes Golf Week. And Southern Sense is sponsoring one of the golf holes over on Cat Island. So we want to welcome aboard Shane Hazel. Good afternoon, Shane.
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right. All right. You have a video up on YouTube that we're trying to help make go viral. And as of a few moments ago, you've had over 1,000 hits on it within just a matter of days.
Yeah, I'm very excited, and I can't thank you guys enough for getting the word out and having me on your show. It's a real pleasure, and I'm thrilled. 1,000 hits within a week. I think I posted it last Friday night after kind of ripping the idea off from a couple other Marines. But if we can get this thing to go viral, I'll be more than excited.
Well, I did post a link to it up in the chat room. And I'm trying to see. I did upload it here. Here we go. Let me play this clip so people can know exactly what we're talking about.
YouTube, Shane here for Van Up. I think I've stumbled onto something pretty big. Hopefully you guys can help me out, but you got to get it out, and it's got to go viral, like now, yesterday. Last year, Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake were asked to the Marine Corps ball by a couple active duty Marines. Well, we're going to set the bar high here at Van Up for our second video. I want to ask President Barack Obama and all the other presidential hopefuls for that matter to a town hall where I, former Marine, will be the host and my entire audience will be nothing but former Marines. You think you're ready to lead America? You think you're ready to lead Marines? We'll see. Until next time, man up, America.
Now that is awesome. Absolutely awesome. Now, where the heck did you get the idea for this?
Well, I saw both of those Marines last year when Timberlake was asked by the female black belt instructor, and then the guy, I guess, who had asked Mila Kunis first. And, you know, I didn't give it a second thought. I thought, hey, great, they accepted, the honor to go to the ball, and then they actually followed through on it. But the key to it was that it actually – went viral, and it made headlines in mainstream and actually put the pressure on those two. So behind that was, success here is if it goes viral and this question gets asked to the president and the candidates. That's my big goal right now. If they accept, that's even better. But to just get that message in front of everybody, because in my mind, an honorable man and a leader – will stand up in front of Marines without hesitation, without the slightest bit of hesitation, because that's what leaders do.
Awesome. Now, we have someone in the chat room who's asking a question already. She wonders if you would be able to post a new video with a group of Marines behind you in a similar message.
Oh, I'm sure I could gather quite a few Marines in short order and repost in a different format, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, you gotta definitely have to send me that link.
Will do.
So, Shane, let me ask you a question. Cool Mike here. All right, let's say this happens, and I have no doubt when regarding Marines, anything will happen. Let's say this is to happen in 30 seconds, and here's President Barack Obama. What's your first question for him?
Well, Cool Mike, it's funny you ask because I have the answer. I think you have to set a theme right up front in these town halls and for any political discussion. And it's especially at the federal level for the President of the United States, it's got to revolve around the Constitution. The first question I think I'd ask is, do you believe the Constitution is the tangible standard we should measure all representatives, legislation, and political discourse against? That to me, if yes, and he needs to answer why he would or why he wouldn't. That, to me, sets the tone for the entire debate. If he does answer at that point, yes, then we're going to have some follow-on questions as to why some of his policies are unconstitutional, or some of his discussion, or his political action. And if the answer is no, I mean, gosh, if he answers no in front of a bunch of Marines after taking an oath to defend the Constitution, boy, it's like blood and water for sharks. It's just going to – the juices are going to get flowing, and these guys are going to – you know, they're going to rip it apart.
Okay. Same question for – would be, say, for Ron Paul?
Ron Paul, you know, he's been in Washington forever. He has – such a different perspective from my point of view. I believe he could actually stand up in front of the troops, and the troops would not only welcome the discussion, but would be very interested in what he has to say. I mean, we've been at war for 10 years now, and you know, I was deployed twice inside of Iraq. It gets to a point where you become war weary, and because we don't have a mission, and Ron sees that, and he sees how we've gone to war and how we're just expending, you know, resources and lives more than anything, in a vain effort, I believe you have a pretty good response from the Ron Paul camp, honestly.
Okay. I like the question with Barack Obama and obviously with different candidates. All right. So let me throw this question back. As a Marine, when you were active duty, or if you still are, first of all, Anna and I both want to thank you for your duty to this country. Veterans here on this show are absolute royalty. What do you feel looking back now that you're not active?
You know, during my time, I saw quite a bit of change inside of theater. I was there in for the initial invasion, and then obviously went back later in 2004. Into 2005, and what I saw the interaction between our military, not so much our government, but the troops on the ground interfacing with the Iraqis, you could see a relationship building, and you could see that from the time I inserted until the time I left inside of Najaf and Fallujah, there was this real connection that, you know, at first, and you can usually measure how you're doing as far as communicating with the locals. You know, at first, you know, you have kids want to come out and they want to talk to you. Females, you know, they're kind of restricted over there, but they will be the kind of next people on board. They'll come out, they'll talk, they'll practice their English. It's really the older gentlemen that once you start talking to them and they want to talk to you, that's when you know you've made some ground. Have we made huge milestones over there? Yeah, I think we've planted a seed. Have we accomplished the mission? I don't know that they ever fully define the mission. I think that the servicemen that have gone over there, I mean, 99% of them have done just an absolute fantastic job in my estimation. Are we going to change them overnight? No, it takes sometimes millennia for this to happen. But at the same time, we never defined a mission. I'm sorry to keep going, but it's when we went over there and we were supposed to find Saddam Hussein and annihilate the Republican Guard, we did that. You know, we did that within a week. Could we have pulled out then? Sure, but we've just now pulled out. It gets a little hazy because you start talking about objectives that were met and then we stayed, and we don't know exactly why we stayed. What was the objective? What was the mission? And, you know, did anybody ever actually come out to the troops and relay that message?
Well, how do you see the mission now in Afghanistan then?
Well, I'm ready for us to be home. I've got, you know, brothers over there now that are on their 7th, 8th, 9th deployment within inside of 10 years. You know, the guys that are just, they're, all, I don't want to say addicted to it, but they're those guys that just feel the calling because their brothers are over there in harm's way that they need to go and they need to be there with them. It's not that they know they're going to change Afghanistan into a nation like the United States. What they're doing is they're going to bring their brothers home one way or another. I'm ready for it to be over with. You know, you see the hypocrisy inside of both administrations where Karzai's brother has his own opium fields that are never touched. However, we're eradicating other opium fields. It doesn't make any sense to me. Karzai's ready for us to leave. With the shootings the other week, with the one soldier, I guess he shot 16 guys, and all of a sudden there's outrage from President Karzai. Where's the outrage before that? There's so many atrocities that the Taliban and everybody else pulls off inside of Afghanistan that never get mentioned, never get a headline. But as soon as one of our soldiers does anything wrong, it's national news. They've tried them in the court of public opinion, and yet we still have I apologize because I forgot his name.
Major Hassan?
Down at Fort Hood, who's yet to stand trial. It the hypocrisy at the highest levels of government right now and in the media are absolutely outstanding to me.
Now, we have someone in the chat room wants to ask a question, and this gentleman happens to be a Vietnam vet. And the reason why I preface that is yesterday was the first official Vietnam Veterans Day, the first time we as a nation have actually remembered and honored our Vietnam vets. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad you came on today so we can put this all together. But this person would like to ask how you would ask the question of these candidates about the Second Amendment. Oh, someone's microphone. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I'm still with you. So he's obviously talking about the right to bear arms. And I don't have a question specifically in front of me, but if I was going to ask a question that, to the President of the United States, it would probably actually cover maybe the first six amendments. Those, to me, are individual rights. And that's not how the President, in my estimation anyway, sees, the Constitution or the Bill of Rights for that matter. Each one of those rights, you have the right to free speech, you have the right to assembly, you have the right to due process, you have the right to keep and bear arms. Those are individual rights, and that's my position on it. If I was going to ask, is that your position on it? I could probably frame it a little bit better if I had it in front of me, but I want to know from the candidates, do you consider these individual rights to be exercised by Americans? And secondly, the 10th Amendment would be inserted here, because if you're going to project, these rights federally across the nation from the Bill of Rights, which they should be, how can there be any other laws devised by the states that trample those rights? And, here in Georgia is where I'm at now. You have to go out, you have to get fingerprinted, you have to have a carry and conceal permit. What they're working towards is a constitutional carry law, which I think is redundant because you have the Second Amendment. There shouldn't be any laws out there at the state level that restrict the Bill of Rights, the rights that you're given, I should say the rights that we have, the rights that are instilled by God himself.
Yeah, I'm over here in South Carolina. We also have, we have to get fingerprinted and so on and so forth. Jump through hoops before you can get yourself a carry permit. But we are a little bit more liberal than most other states, so I understand that. Now, we also have the UN is trying to usurp our gun rights through the Small Arms Treaty, too. And how would you address the candidates about that?
I would ask them the question, do you believe that Congress or the president have the ability or the power to systematically, usurp the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution, in regards to international law? I mean, as a sovereign country, they shouldn't have that right. We as a country, we give power, as citizens, we give power to the government. And when we give that power to the government, we're not relinquishing it. And they can't just throw it out there. They can't debate this with other nations or, you know, a United Nations in this sense, to where they're taking our rights away from us without our permission. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I think it's a power grab, and that's probably the way, you know, within questioning, I would ask the candidates.
Interesting. Now, we do have a caller in on the line. Let me bring this individual in and hang on a second. Okay, Kelly? Kelly, you're on live with Southern Sense, and our guest is Shane Hazel. Do you have a question? Area code 803. Okay, I guess we don't have someone talking.
We have to shake up Kelly's phone. That's like twice she's had problems. And one of the things I really like regarding having a town hall meeting with Marines is right off the bat you had said something like, you know, you're sorry if you went on or whatever. You know what? Marines are blue-collar military people. They are, as a person who is in the entertainment business, the nightclubs, et cetera, they're the best customers to have. Number one is they're just great to be around. They spend a lot of money. They love women. They're great to have in case there's a problem. They help people to the door where I can just basically try to make more money. And they are the heart and soul of our military. You know, even Norman Schwarzkopf in Desert Storm acknowledged the Marines as taking down the impenetrable barrier. And I think they're simple people. They're great American-loving people. And to be able to sit there, I think the questions are genuine, and I think the questions come, what's in the best interest of everybody and anyone but me? And that's what I love about Marines. They seem so unselfish that everything and anything comes before themselves. And it's just a kind of a humble way you even began the show by thanking us for even letting you on. I mean, I think in many ways our military people are the ones who are forgotten over the last 10 years. And I think that would be great. I hope that President Obama has the backbone, as well as Mitt Romney, who I really can't stand. But the bottom line is that I think this is a great idea, and I think we need to do everything and anything to make this happen. And, you know, you planted the seed. I think all of us need to grab our garden hoses and grab our, you know, and start pouring water on it. Let's get the sun on it. Let's grow it, and let's make it happen.
Guys, I tell you, I can't appreciate it again. I mean, it's you know, and the thing is this. I'm not even going to take credit for the idea, and I can't tell you how much not only myself but other jarheads out there love hearing that. I mean, those simple words right there, they make it all worthwhile, guys. And like that, it's an honor and a privilege to have served. And you know, like I said, if I can do it in this way, if I can help further debate, if I can help vet the commander in chief of this country, I mean, gosh, it's an honor. It's not. It's something I'm kind of beside myself with right now.
Yeah, Cool Mike also forgot one small thing, that there are also women serving in the military too. Now, we do have another caller coming in. Let me see if I can bring this person in online. Area code 505, you're on live with Southern Sense and our guest Shane Hazel. Who am I speaking to? Area code 505.
Hi. This is Sue from New Mexico.
Hi, Sue. How are you doing today? Do you have a question for our guest?
No, I was listening. I tried to get into the chat room and couldn't make it work, so I'm just listening on the phone.
Okay, great. Then.
So what's the weather like in New Mexico?
It's warm and nice and sunny right now.
Gee, thank you.
He's
so glad
in the
to hear that.
Frozen tundra while the rest of us are basking in the sun. Our guest is Shane Hazel. He's got a YouTube up where he is sending out an invitation to President Obama and the GOP candidates to attend a town hall that's going to be populated by Marines. I think it's an awesome, awesome idea. Shane, what made you start up with this Man Up?
I've actually been at it for a couple of years. It started, you know, because of my political beliefs, and it kind of morphed into a preparedness type deal because I saw everything that was going wrong, and I
I'm not a doomsday prepper. However, I am one of those people who's prepared because I see our country going in the wrong direction. And it kind of morphed into this thing where I would go out and actually take on clients and do preparedness surveys with them to help them, you know, if God forbid, you know, Walmart's not open anymore, you can't go down to the local shopping center. Hey, are you prepared enough to, you know, if the worst happens, be it natural disaster, power outages, or, you know, the unfortunate event of something with our government, are you ready to do this? And then I've just kind of been slowly brought back into this because my friends and family, for one reason or another, they turn to me. I'm very outspoken in this, and it's not that I sit there and I rail and yell or anything. It's that we sit there and we talk and we debate and we throw around ideas with each other. And I don't know, they just started pouring in recently, and I decided, you know, gosh, I should probably start a vlog or something, because, you know, it's people are looking for leadership in this time where it's, you know, we're in tough times. People are cutting back all over the place. They're losing jobs. The economy doesn't show any signs of improvement. And people need hope. I think they need leadership. And if that's what I'm being called to do again, I'm happy to do it, and I'm humbled to do it. And that's basically how I got back into this.
It's funny because over the years I've seen people who are survivalists, if you want to call them that, and everyone always thought they were kooks. But as we're watching the events progress, a lot of us are saying, well, maybe that's not so crazy. Some of my friends know that I do a lot of my own canning and jarring, which people don't do. They're so accustomed to just going to the grocery store, picking something off the shelf. But what if that grocery store is no longer there? How are you going to eat? Growing your own vegetables, or something as simple as having a generator in case your power goes out. It's amazing.
I think you're right. I mean, it travels back to that question of self-reliance. I mean, as Americans, and I think this is something that's very beholden to the Marine culture, is you're self-reliant, you make do with what you've got, and you don't give up. And it's not crazy. I mean, look at New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. You had people relying on the government, and it was a complete disaster. Then you have the floods in Tennessee, and you hear nearly a peep out of Tennessee because they're all prepared. They bonded together. They're independent. They're self-reliant. And they said, we're going to get through this on our own. We don't need the federal government to come and rescue us. Which, if your plan is to have the federal government come and rescue you, in my opinion, it might be the worst plan out there.
Shane, would you consider yourself a shy person?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm not. I've never met a person that I can't get along with at the same time, though. For me to be on here, I was a little nervous, I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Well, let's cut the chase. We're all basically we're talking about national disaster, whatever and however. All right. Every one of us know slowly but surely what is taking place. So what's your obviously, as the government wants to take over and crush the republic, do you think they even have a clue how people like the Marines and our veterans and the Oathers, just how well prepared they are to take on whatever forms necessary?
I
almost look at it as, I think the government's, they're fools. They have no idea how quickly the veterans can crush anyone they send our way.
Right. I don't see it. And the thing is that I don't want to see it. I mean, I've seen enough war for my lifetime. I think we all have. The American public in general, I mean, we're quiet, we're reserved. And that's kind of the part of what being an American is all about. You know, you don't have to be flashy. You take care of yourself. You take care of your neighbors. You take care of your family. And when it comes to freedom, you're not putting the genie back in the lamp. And the overwhelming force that can be projected very quickly, no matter if you've ruined communication or not, I think only a madman and somebody who is arrogant plans to take freedom away from Americans. I can't imagine anything less than suicide if you're trying to do it.
Well, are you aware of a bill that recently was signed by the president, passed in the House, passed in the Senate? It's called the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act of 2011.
I'm not aware of that one. I thought you might be referring to the NDAA, but no, go ahead, please.
I've got that one here, too. Well, this one makes it a federal crime if you decide to, quote, what they call trespass on federal grounds or any grounds where there is government business going on. So, in other words, if you've got, say, for example, a senator having a town hall in the middle of a shopping mall, they can deem that, you know, a place where you can't trespass, meaning you cannot protest. They basically have said you cannot protest.
Yeah. That's absolutely amazing to me. It obviously flies right in the face of the First Amendment. I think I saw something like this on YouTube the other day where a guy from the Ron Paul camp had tried to go and interview Mitt Romney at a school. And obviously public property, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's press. He's an individual. He has the right on public land to say what he wants to say. Yet they kicked him out. They couldn't give him a reason. And that was the end of the discussion. It's wholeheartedly un-American. And frankly, what scares the hell out of me out of most of the candidates out there.
Now, my question would be of the candidate at that point, hey, listen, if you can't handle a heckler one-on-one, how are you going to handle another head of state?
Agreed. Absolutely. If you can't stand up in front of your own men and women, I don't have any idea how you stand up in front of the head of a state with a military backing him with any backbone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you mean. One of the big disturbances of all the candidates, I think, with the exception of Congressman Paul, zero of them are talking about repealing the amendments that are taking away our liberties granted to us, number one, by God, and the grounds that of the Constitution and Declaration planted by our founding fathers. And it's as if they're not even talking about it. The media will not even ask them the question. And realistically, if Ron Paul wasn't even in these races, the issues would never come up regarding whether it's the Patriot Act, whether it's repealing this amendment, whether it's what happened recently in Libya. I mean, over and over, it's almost as if the Constitution that is being taken, the rights by that Constitution and by our Creator being taken away by government, it's almost as if all the candidates, both parties, are pretending it's not even in existence, meaning they're supporting that.
I would absolutely agree with you, Cool Mike. The lack of attention and focus on the Constitution and, you know, the Federalist Papers and everything that led up to our way of life, our Constitution as Americans, is just being, you know, kind of thrown to the wayside to be forgotten, and they're trying to rewrite it. I mean, you see it every day. I mean, if it's not a grab on the First Amendment, now it's a grab on the Fourth and Sixth Amendment due process. I mean, I travel around the world quite a bit for my daily job, and not only does it affect us here, but it creates such fear. Like this, the NDAA. I was talking with some guys in Australia while I was over there last month, and they basically said it outright declares everybody in the world an enemy of the United States, not just, you know, the people within the United States, but anybody and everybody that we deem doesn't fit the way we think they should think, act, and say, they're an enemy now to the United States of America. So, you know, the whole apology tour that Obama took early in his career, he's really kind of, you know, stepped on his own his own foot, for lack of better words, but trying to get his public image of America to be, you know, this great shiny nation that he wanted to make in his own light. I don't know. It sickens me. I think the American people all see it, and I think we're about frustrated enough to where something's going to have to give one way or another. Either they're going to give or we're going to give, and I don't think the American people are going to give.
I think in the past, at least for me, 90 days, I have seen a movement towards the Constitution. Not just, I think the campaign against Tea Partiers and many others has failed. I think it ran its course, and Tea Partiers just kind of hung out and let the storm take place. And now that it's done, they're stepping outside and they're armed, and they're armed with ballots. And I hope it doesn't come to what I believe it sooner or later would do. But the bottom line is that I think this is a great idea to get the momentum started. I am I'm pretty big on Facebook, as most people can say. As most people will tell you. So I'm going to friend request you, and I'm going to pimp this all over college campuses. I recently got affiliated with a new energy drink. It's manufactured by Playboy, so it's very popular. And I mix business and politics 24/7 because you know what? Without the Constitution, there is no business. And the bottom line is that we need to spread the word. This would be great. I tell you right now, if I watched this on TV, I'd be in tears. I think, wow, we helped make this happen, especially with Marine. Man, oh man, I going before Marines and asking questions. Oh my God. I couldn't imagine these presidential candidates would probably be wetting themselves. They'd be so nervous. Because, like I said, you know, Marines, men and women, are so unselfish. I cannot tell you how I love them as customers. They're just great people to be around there. I mean, they never talk about themselves. A guy came off the plane. His friends, three of them, they were coming in our club on a regular basis, then they got deployed. They got off the plane. Within 15 minutes, they came into our club. First thing they asked is, how did your big party go that we missed several months ago? I thought, Lord have mercy. I mean, there they've been in basically the theater of operation, and all they cared about is wanting to know about the party. So that really tells you about what great Marines are. So let me ask you another question in line of what we're saying. How would you, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, how would you evaluate George Bush's 8 years as president from a standpoint of an active duty Marine?
Well, because he was my commander in chief, for a grade, boy, he doesn't score well. And I'll have to say I voted for him twice at the same time. That's when I really began to wake up as being politically involved and being concerned for a nation and seeing that it doesn't matter if you have a D next to your name or an R next to your name. Most of these guys are in on it. And I say in on it, in on eroding American values, American identity, and the American Constitution. And the reason I say that is because while Marines and the rest of the military are deployed in theater and are pursuing, you know, the safety not only of freedom in America, but freedom in other countries, the back door is wide open. Nobody's done anything about it, and especially George Bush. He had the chance to do something about it. The Republicans all had the chance to do something about it. And when I say the back door, I mean our borders, our borders with Mexico and Canada alike. They are just absolutely wide open for anybody with malcontent to come into this country and do what they will. I don't know if you guys have ever spent any time on the border or near the border, but it's a very desolate place, and with the right resources, it's very easy to cross. I would fail him, honestly, because of what he's projecting, what he's saying, and then his actions or lack of action, I guess, when it comes to American security.
Hallelujah. Annie, did you hear what he just said? Well, absolutely. Not only is your point valid, and I respect the way you hold back, because as a loyal American, he was commander-in-chief, and I respect that. But the bottom line is, for 6 years, these so-called Republican conservatives had the power to do the problems that we have been faced with for decades, and they did nothing. They did nothing. I mean,
correct.
It doesn't even matter protecting the borders. Wait a minute. Not just protecting the borders, but the right to life, just on and on. They just did nothing. The bureaucracy They allowed the bureaucracy to basically run the show and allowed people like us. And I think it's very sad. I've listened to military leaders talk. I think it's very sad when we have a commander-in-chief who sends our troops of any kind into battle without a defined definition. And I think it was Douglas MacArthur who said it should never be more than two or three paragraphs long. And your start, what takes place, and the ending, period. And I think that's one of the reasons he did battle with Harry Truman. It's because simply you have people who don't know anything about the theater. They have never they've never been in that type of situation, yet from their television sets and living rooms in Washington, D.C. or wherever, we're watching this on TV and we're passing judgment. So I can't even imagine what it would be like for you to not only are you there, but then you're watching it on TV and thinking that story is so full of crap.
Right. And I can I'll expand on this a little bit if you don't mind. When we see this kind of stuff unfold, it obviously takes you deeper into the conversation, and it opens your eyes to see how things can be twisted politically, for gain of one party or another. The truth is, both parties have had a president in office and a majority in Congress, and both have failed to correct the problems that we see on a normal basis as Americans. And what we do, and what I in the video previous to the one where I challenged the president and candidates, I talked about my mission at Man Up is to unite Americans. I think that's what any leader has to do at this point. You have to unite Americans. You have to unite them behind the Constitution, and you have to get them thinking a different way. George Washington warned against it. You know, having political parties and having them divide the American people is one of the worst things you could do for the power of the American people. And what I so often see these days, guys, is, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a D next to somebody's name or if it's R next to somebody's name, or even if it's, you know, some other label like gay or straight or Jewish or Christian, it doesn't matter, because when there's a political debate and somebody criticizes somebody else, we find ourselves defending that other person through the representative through proxy. So if I'm a Democrat and Obama does something and a Republican criticizes him, instead of taking the critique and saying, yeah, you know what, you're right, why is he doing that? We all need to hold him accountable. They sit there just by proxy because they voted for him. They feel some allegiance or something. Then they start, you know, well, your candidate did this back then. So now we're measuring men against men, which is imperfect to begin with, correct? And not against a tangible document like the Constitution, something that outlines what we should and should not do as an American.
Now, there is a case of a Marine out in California, I believe, last name of Stein, that is going to be given a dishonorable discharge because he criticized President Obama. Have you been following that?
Yes, I have. He's a weatherman. I believe he's down there at the air station, and God bless him. I understand his frustration, but he has to understand. And freedom of speech is freedom of speech all day long. Do you give up your rights as a Marine? Yeah, you give up some rights. You're not going to just sit there and criticize people in your chain of command openly. You definitely don't do it in uniform, but I understand where he's coming from. It's a new thing. It's, you know, it's like internet law for the Constitution. The internet wasn't around. Well, Facebook wasn't around when the Marine Corps came out. So what you do and you say in your political life, I don't know. Can you go on TV as a Marine and in active duty and say something about the president? You know, it better be positive, because if you're going in face of the chain of command, you're going to get slapped for it. God bless the guy. I understand his frustration. I would be equally as frustrated if I was in the Marine Corps right now with the leadership. But at the same time, I mean, they're definitely – you have to respect the chain of command. And if – I don't know, are we getting to that point? I think is the bigger question. Are we getting to the point where the military no longer respects or no longer is going to take the orders of the administration?
Interesting. Excuse me. Interesting. Now – I want to go over to a different subject just to throw a little monkey wrench into this. Recently, they had this thing where they were allowing gay marriages in the military, and at one point, I believe it was the Secretary of the Navy, had ordered the chaplains to perform these services, you know, the marriage services. What's your opinion on that?
This is a awfully tricky subject. On social issues in general, I don't know outside of the military that the federal government should be involved. There's no power for it in Article 1, Section 8 for Congress, correct? So it doesn't outline marriage. It doesn't outline any of that stuff. It can't be done on a state level because it is being done at a, you know, by the U.S. government, which is federal. So at that point, the military has got to decide whether or not. Obviously, they've just enacted, you know, they've said, you know, don't ask, don't tell, throw that out. You can be openly gay. It doesn't matter. I struggle with this one just because I don't think the federal government should get into our personal lives. They don't need to be in our bedroom. At the same time, now you also have to talk about compensation for, you know, these people, you know, if they are gay and they're in the military and they get married, do you extend them the equal rights that this heterosexual couples get? There's a lot of questions here that inside the military they have to answer. You know, is it okay to do it for some and not for others? It, I don't know. It doesn't scream the American way, but it's definitely a difficult question, and it's one of those that you're going to have a lot of heated debate about, I believe.
And you can bet at the town hall meeting that's a question that's going to come up. I mean,
correct.
Sometimes we play dumb. Gay and homosexual people have been in our military since 1776. And the bottom line is to ignore it or to pretend, you know, whether it's an issue or not. You have to address it. It's no different than a problem in your house. Whether it's your son or your daughter or you have a brother or sister, maybe is an alcoholic or using drugs. I mean, there are issues that you have to discuss. And I think that's a great question, Annie. I think in too many ways, even on here on Blog Talk, hosts are they don't want to ask certain questions. And, Shane, you'll find out as time goes on, Annie's not afraid to ask anyone anything. And this stems back from an interview she had with a lady who ran for president from Minnesota, whose name escapes me. Say it. But Annie Grant got a few minutes to interview her, and I don't even think it lasted a few minutes. But, you know, the bottom line is that that's a good question. We don't, even when we have military people on here, we don't bring that up. That's a little, no. Why not? And that was a great answer. You know, that was an answer coming from a person like us. And it's true. I mean, it is. That was a great, great answer, and it was a very good question. Also, Shane, you may not know, Annie has been on ABC, PBS. She'll tell you all that. She was quoted in Al Jazeera at the last presidential debate a couple months ago as well. So she's moving up in the world. Pretty soon you'll come here and just be Cool Mike all alone, because Annie will be working. Annie will be tied in with all those people there at ABC and CNN. And
well, I hope you'll be a voice of reason over there, Annie.
Okay. Well, a couple quick questions for you, keeping with our topic. But are you married? Do you have kids?
I am. I've been married for a few years. I have a young child at home who is the delight of my life. And really, you know, besides what's going on in America and the world these days, I am absolutely living the American dream.
That's awesome. What's your favorite fast food?
I don't like fast food.
Oh, geez, not one of them.
If I had to pick, guys, it's a guilty pleasure. Taco Bell, they've got this new Dorito taco out there. Some people hate it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've seen the commercial where the guy drives. Okay, how about, do you like beer?
Yeah, I can't turn down beer. Yeah.
Okay, what's
great.
Your favorite beer? Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know. You like beer? What's your favorite?
Beer favorite, depending on the time of year. I'm a PBR man, straight up and down. I was raised on it, and it's one of those staples I keep at my house.
God.
If we let Mike keep on going this way, the next question will probably be whether or not you have boxers or briefs.
All right, Andy, that'll be PBR, you know, is what the college kids drink all around here. There,
it's what my old man drank. So it's kind of the stipend in the house when he had one.
When you were overseas, when you were deployed, were there products available? Such as obviously not American grocery stores, but were many of the American amenities and store bought products available to you over there?
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. The first time, no. It was basically living in a tent in a desert, and there was no electricity. And for cooler water, what we would do is take a sock, put it around a plastic bottle, and let it cool in the shade. It would take it down to like 90 degrees, and that was cool. So that was the first time around. Conditions obviously improved the second time around. In a year, it was amazing to see what the Army could do as far as setting up shop. And you're talking about, you know, really good chow for what Marines are used to anyway. And, you know, the amenities they had brought in, you know, like a post exchange and all that kind of stuff. So if you really needed it, you had it. Life is very, very simple over there for Marines and the rest of the military. And, I tell you, I can't complain about the living conditions, honestly.
You know, we have already started like a little bit of a debate here inside the chat room. And matter of fact, someone happens to remember the Pabst Blue Ribbon song. But there is something very truthful, because they seem to feel that this thing with the don't ask, don't tell and everything else was sort of like an experiment, a social experiment. And this person, the judgment he goes by, says if it works in the private microorganisms, it can be absorbed into the larger society and then the military, not the other way around. What's your take on that?
So he says if it works in a microcosm and then it's adopted by society, then it can work in the military.
That's what it sounds like.
Wow. Yeah, you know, maybe that's – I'm learning. You know, I'm a student, guys, and – I don't have it all figured out, and that sounds, I don't know, it sounds like a very thoughtful, response where, yeah, does it work for people? Yeah, it works for people. Is it, you know, spread across America yet? No, but you got to look how far, the gay population has come in America. I mean, it used to be, you know, people just hid that, best they could, and then you didn't tell anybody. Now it's okay. I mean, hell, I'm a Marine, and I had a gay roommate in college after I got out. I'm not gay, but one of those things where, I didn't care, but for the life of them, they didn't tell me for the longest time because they thought I'd slip out. Most people don't care. You're gay, you're gay. You're straight, you're straight. I think the conundrum is, all right, now we're going to try to get the federal government in here, and they're going to do what they always do. They're going to mess something up. If it was just as easy as saying, yeah, you know what, you guys are married and the federal government's eye and it's accepted across America, fine. But you guys, I mean, take a look back. Women in the service and black men in the service or people of different colors. I mean, it's one of those things where it wasn't accepted for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden, sure enough, it's accepted.
No, that is very true. I'm probably aren't aware of this, but I happen to be a retired police officer out of New York. At the time I went into the police department, there were actually guys there that says, I'm not riding with any woman. You know, flat out. I'm not, you know, and then you're stuck on this foot post out in the back end of nowhere. But, yeah, it's things that people have come to accept now. You just have to make that first inroad, and once that inroad is there, then everything becomes norm.
I think right. We have a hard time of accepting. It's wonderful as our Constitution is and as terrific as the Founding Fathers were, in many ways, according to at least now, they were very ass-backwards when it comes to stereotypes and homophobes then, beyond what we could ever imagine. I mean, it was, people who study history, it is amazing just how people thought. I mean, and You know, things don't change in 24 hours. When you are used to something, it's no different than, I'm sure, when our kids grow up. I don't have kids, but when they grow up, things think are so differently, where they tell the parents, you're so out of it. Well, of course. And then someday their kids are going to tell them they're out of it. Times change and things evolve. And at least my whole point is, and I agree with you, Shane, I think when the government gets involved, they screwed up. But at least we're talking about this issue. I think it's an issue that we owe many people who were gay and homosexual who gave the ultimate sacrifice. These people didn't run around saying, I'm in the military, I'm gay. They focused on their job, and many of them gave their life for all of us. And we owe them. That's an obligation bestowed on us. And at least to not talk about it would be a great disservice to all those who have served, regardless of sexual preference. It's not an issue. But we must address it because they did fall for us.
I think that's an excellent sentiment, Mike. I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, you've got to discuss it. It is an issue. You can't be a child about it and bury your head in the sand or act like it doesn't exist. It exists. It's definitely a problem. And if you're a gay man or a gay woman in the military and you're not, I would imagine you'd be awfully offended because you're not treated as an equal among your peers. I couldn't agree more with you, Mike.
Well, I think the most important thing that people miss is that if you're in the military or, like for myself, in the police department, your very first thought is when you look at someone, you know, will they have my back? Can I trust them to do the job we need them to do? Everything else is secondary. Everything else just does not matter. It's matter whether or not that person can pull their full load.
Correct. And, you know, and just a little antidote, I mean, in the Marine Corps and even the Army and the other military forces I've dealt with, you don't see the animosity and the separation that you see in the civilian society, where the civilian society, for the large part, is hung up, is definitely still hung up on a little bit of race. You know, there's some touchy areas. Some people can say this about others, and they can't say this about others. In the military, it's all a joke. And I don't know if you guys have seen the guy on TV, Tosh.0, but the guy is a genius. He says things that are stereotypical, and he does it in a true, fun way. And that's a lot of times what you see in the military. You know, there are stereotypes, and we joke about it. We don't harass each other. It isn't, you know, you're not my equal. It's just, hey, this is the way things are. Let's laugh about it instead of tearing each other apart and being, you know, and dividing ourselves. It actually brings people closer together when you can actually talk about it, joke about it, even is better, and then move on. You actually find out you're more alike than you are different.
Well, do you find then that politicians today deliberately cause this divide, certain leaders in our community cause this divide simply so that they can get their ends to the means, you know, either whether it's re-election or to sell a product or to promote a cause?
Oh, absolutely. I think you can see it going on right now with Trayvon Martin. You know, the president was, I believe, so far out of line with his comments about if he had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. I mean, the rhetoric that comes out of Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Reverend Wright and Louis Farrakhan and the new Black Panthers, it's just absolutely abhorrent. You know, our brothers and sisters fought a war back in the 1800s to end slavery. They fought together. They died together. Thousands of people died. What they've in fact done is create this artificial plantation and this with mindset that they're not equal. They've got to let this go, or people have got to see past this to the point where whenever these guys show up on a scene, they know that they're there for some political agenda that's not in the best interest of the American people.
Now, that's very, very true. Now, you have a young child. Are you going to homeschool the child, or are you going to send him to public
school? Absolutely. Absolutely going to homeschool.
All right, because the reason why I brought that up is that there is a case going out in California in the Ninth Circuit District where they actually forced social services to enter the home without a reason, without a warrant, because the parents were homeschooling the child.
Well, you know, if you come in most people's house in this country without a warrant, you're probably going to get, you know, acute lead deficiency. That's the thing. California is this petri box of, or petri dish of, you know, liberal thought, progressive thought, communist thought, you name it. We don't want to be like the rest of the United States. And they pride themselves on that. The people that live there, and that's the reason why you've seen the erosion of rights out there, is because they don't want to be like the rest of America. I've lived there. I know it. I've been there firsthand. I know that. And I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying the majority and the loudest part of California is somewhat disenchanted with being American.
Now, also on New York, the New York City School District recently banned these 50 words, things like Halloween, birthday. Some of these things. Let me see. Homelessness. Yeah, birthday. You can't say birthday. Can't say junk food. Can't say nuclear weapons. Can't say politics.
How do you wish someone a happy birthday then? If your teacher's birthday, what do you say? Like, you were born today, teacher?
I don't get it either, guys. I know what they're doing. They think we're just mind-numbingly stupid. And it falls in line with everything else the government does and prevents us from doing to hurt ourselves. You know, we could get into the drug debate, seat belts, you name it, all this stuff where the federal government gets involved and oversteps their bounds as outlined in the Constitution. It's absolutely insane that you think you can start banning some parts of speech and for it not to be a slippery slope. I mean, absolutely mind-blowing.
Wow.
Next week, Shane, I'm going to have a show where Annie and several of the women who are on Blog Talk Radio, their hosts, I've invited them to come. It's called The Wild Women of BTR. I would like to have you come and share your idea with the other ladies, and this way they can, on their shows, several people have very good shows. They can also help plant your seed and water your tree and help grow. You know, if you could spare 15 minutes just to share your idea. And I'm sure you would hit a home run with an awful lot of them too. They think along the same lines of Annie as well. I gotta ask Annie, where did you find Shane? I mean, he is a great guest.
You know, I don't know. I think you ended up friending me on Facebook. And whenever I see someone friend, you know, I normally look at the profile, and I think that's where I saw your video.
I believe I had sent you an email with one of your buddies' name. They found me through one of my friends, and he said, hey, you got to give this lady over Southern Sense a call, email something, get it to her. She'll get the message out, and I think that's how it came to be.
I think so. I think that's what it was. Was your friend Rick?
Yes, he was.
Okay, because he's up in the chat room, so we wanted to give a shout-out to Rick to say thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I appreciate it, buddy.
You know, you had that colonel on last week. I'll tell you, Shane, I was almost in tears with this guy. This guy was such a great American. I thought, man, Annie, you just find the most amazing people. And I'll tell you, it's that you military people, for the most part, are just great Americans. I see so much of my dad at a young age in you. Rest his soul. Yesterday was his birthday. But, I mean, he was in World War II. And he rarely talked about any of the war situation, but I mean, he was such a prideful American. He loved his country, he loved his family, and it just—I mean, honestly, it's just a breath of fresh air to hear you speak and to have you as our guest.
Well, guys,
right,
someone
asking if you're up on Twitter because they want to, you know, friend you. I guess
it's Man Up Inc. on Twitter, and it's a space between the three words, so you'll have man space. Up, space, ink.
Is it an underscore or a space?
Underscore.
You want to post that in the link or in the chat room, Annie, or do you want me to?
Man up, ink, right?
Yes, Man Up Inc. INC.
Okay.
And gotcha. You know, if we're closing down, Cool Mike, I would be honored to help you guys out again next week with your show, and leave you guys with a thought that, you know,
well, we still got 20 minutes.
Oh, you do?
Hell yeah! Okay. We're not letting you go.
I warned you that this would go real fast. Warn you.
I made time in my afternoon, so.
Okay, Shane, I gotta ask a question now, Annie. All right, I'm gonna hear about it after the show, of course. But you know, I noticed with Marines, once they get home, seems like the woman's in charge in that damn house. She's kind of running the show. Well, come on now.
You mean yes, honey?
Oh, geez.
Yes,
tell
dear.
Me, you too.
Yes.
Well, you got to pick your battles, Mike. You got to pick your battles. You know, when it comes down to it, there's good days and there's bad days, and there's that ultimate goal. And as long as you reach that ultimate goal, you know, you lose a couple battles along the way, you're still a winner at the end.
Well, you got to remember, I was married to a gunnery sergeant at one time, and
oh, boy.
His father was a top.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, we know who runs the show in Annie's house because one time her husband picked up the other line and she says, Annie, hang up. You heard that phone slam down so fast. I was like, geez. The guy probably ran outside, too. Oh, well, you know, I don't think anyone understands the ultimate goal, but I do being in the nightclub business. But what's it like when you are married and you are away for such long periods of time? I mean, obviously, what are some of the challenges, obviously, missing them? But I don't think we understand because, we're away from our loved ones for a couple of days and we think, wow, that's hard. Never imagined
yeah.
in the military. And I always love watching when you see someone come home and you see their family just running to him or her. It's always just such a wonderful feeling to watch.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my heart goes out to the wives or the spouses. It's for the spouse who's back home that's not in the military, I believe it's exponentially harder. And the ones that actually make it through it, they become stronger, and they are a true testament to the sacrifice and the real meaning behind America. Because, you know, without those guys, you know, the guy in the field is just the guy in the field, but now he's got a purpose to come back. It's a hard road. It's not something I wish on anybody. They're left back here wondering because they don't understand the operational pace. They think that anything can happen all the time, and that's not exactly true. You know, it's one of those things that are a lot of times you're really hanging out. You're not doing much. You're doing prep for your next mission, and you're not leaving the wire for some time. But there's that. They're still going through their daily life, and now if they have kids and other responsibilities like housework and everything, it's all lumped onto them. You know, they can't. It's not like we don't have maids in the military. You know, I hate to break that to most of society, but we don't have maids. So housework, repair work, you name it. So they kind of put on another hat. They put on both hats for as long as the deployment is. And they absolutely deserve the utmost respect. There's temptation back here in the States. You name it, guys. I mean, it is such an uphill battle that if you can and are a part of this system and you can support these spouses who are left behind, these families that are left behind, you should absolutely do so because they need it more than you know.
Well, that's very, very true. It's not only that, it's also the kids. Now, the kids are dealing with only one parent also.
Correct. Yeah, it's absolutely hard. You know, a lot of times you'll see a disconnect between, you know, fathers and sons or daughters and that are away and back, and it's hard on them because they're left with that insecurity, the fact that their father or mother may never come home. It's definitely tough on them. Will it make them tougher? I believe it will, but same time there is that opportunity for something to happen where they get off track, they get off the path, and bringing them back in after that is definitely hard. So yeah, they need your help more than most people know, I think.
All right. We have a couple of people doing Semper Fi to you in the chat room, too, sending you out well wishes. We also have another caller coming in. He's another fellow host here on BTR. His name is Thomas. Good afternoon, Thomas. You're on the air live.
What's up?
How are you doing today? You have our guest, Shane T. Hazel. Would you have a question for him?
No, I'm just calling in to listen on the air because I just woke up, so I've missed most of the show, and I don't know what's going on. I feel left out.
Okay. All right. I'm going to mute your mic for now. Okay. We have a lot of good hosts here in the chat room also on Southern Sense, so maybe they'll also contact you and help you get your video out.
That'd be much appreciated. And like I said, I need all the help we can get getting us up in front of the mainstream so that they can ask the tough question.
Yeah, all right. Well, we also have Bob, who served in the military. Let's get the link to Bob, who is also a Marine. He'll spread the word on your behalf. But we're gonna make this happen, Shane. We are gonna make this happen. I'll probably be complaining, Annie. We got this started, and I'm not even invited. So, but anyway, you know, this is great, and it is actually in many ways an obligation for those of us who haven't served to make this happen. And I think it should. Whether or not the presidential candidates will try this again after yours, I seriously doubt it. But it'd still be something to talk about forever.
Well, maybe it's something, if it does happen, that it continues to happen. Maybe that becomes the norm in the vetting process, and it's a once every four things, and it's this huge event where, you know what, we're actually starting to get candidates that are worth a damn and really – you know, because the president acts in two different ways, not only as our president, but also as our commander in chief. If he can't stand up, not only in front of the American people, but those really, really special Americans that stand up and write that blank check for their life as military, you know, maybe they don't deserve the honor of having that office.
No, I want to play it one more time because some people have been entering into the show and have not heard it. So let me play it again so they know what we're talking about here.
YouTube, Shane here for Van Up. I think I've stumbled onto something pretty big. Hopefully you guys can help me out, but you got to get it out, and it's got to go viral, like now, yesterday. Last year, Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake were asked to the Marine Corps ball by a couple active-duty Marines. Well, we're going to set the bar high here at Man Up for our second video. I want to ask President Barack Obama and all the other presidential hopefuls for that matter to a town hall where I, former Marine, will be the host and my entire audience will be nothing but former Marines. You think you're ready to lead America? You think you're ready to lead Marines? We'll see. Until next time, Man Up America.
No, I love that. I love that. But you know what? Someone corrected me when I posted this up on Facebook saying there's no such thing as a former Marine.
Well, there's no ex-Marines. Obviously, we were no longer active inside the service. So, you know, former, ex, I think there's a little discretion there.
All right, now, I got a question for you. Because you are such a good presence, a fantastic public presence, would you ever consider running for office?
Oh, absolutely. Not that I would want to have my life put under a microscope. It's really not what I want for me and my family. But, you know, I didn't want to be a Marine either. It's something pushes you into this type of stuff. And, you know, God himself will sort it out. But it's one of those things where, yeah, I feel like I'm being compelled to not only do this, but maybe actually serve again in that capacity. If I can be more effective, if I can, you know, be more effective, you know, in the private sector, you know, challenging and keeping those politicians in line, you know, that'd be great too. But if it is meant for me to be in political office, you know, it's not something that I would shrug off.
Hmm. All right. We have the returning vets from Afghanistan and Iraq, unemployment's almost 30%. With your business, are you helping a lot of these veterans as they return?
Yeah, we actually, and I don't want to mention my company on the air because I don't know how they'd feel about it, but at the same time, I work for a company that's dominated by military culture. Most everybody, I'd say 85 to 90% of everybody is either served either in the capacity of the military or law enforcement somewhere. And we are very quick to hire those individuals coming out of the military. They're bright. They're well-spoken. They have that small unit leadership skill, and they can do anything. You know, it's not that they're, you know, that they have all the skills that they're all knowing, but their attitude and they're willing to try and work and adapt is what makes them the resource. So I guess if I was a Marine getting out today, you know, my advice to them in getting a job or obtaining a real career, I would say don't waste your time on college. I did. You know, there's going to be some debt that you incur even with the GI Bill. Network through your contacts in the Marine Corps. I mean, there's just unheard of amounts of channels and networks out there where you can branch out, you can meet people, you're quickly accepted. Your time in the service is what gets you in the front door, and the jobs that are available to you are endless.
Awesome. Mike, you have another question?
Too. Jumping back to the political side, here's we kind of got off track. All right, Shane, I can't imagine when this town hall meeting happens what you're going to be like the day of. You'll probably be worse than you were on your wedding day. However, what if Sarah Palin is the Republican nominee? Let's play a little pretend here. What question would you throw to Sarah Palin?
Oh, boy. Let's see. If I have some in front of me here. I know she's strong on the border. I know she says she's strong on the Constitution. You know, I think I might actually send kind of a catch-22 question to her, as in, you know, where do you stand on the whole gay marriage or another social issue? Let's, you know, you guys can help me out. I'm kind of drawing a blank, but I would do that in essence, because abortion. Let's say abortion, because that's a huge hot button. I myself am pro-life, will be pro-life the rest of my life. But the reason I would ask the question is because it's not the federal government's job to intervene or have a real opinion as far as this is concerned. What, even if you know, you are 99% right, as soon as you cross off, you know, and you get off your path, the constitutional path, your guide, then I don't know that you're an effective leader anymore for this country.
Well, they have now, through the Obamacare, where they want to give free birth control to women. Also, Sebelius made a statement earlier this month about she wanted to make available to college women free sterilization. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it comes down to free to, for what? Free for the taxpayer? No. It comes down to we're all born to this world. You know, are we born into equal families? No, but we are all born inside of America with equal rights. You come into this world with your personal ability and your ability to work, and you trade your time and your craft for money. Now, if you're going to tell me that I have to trade my life to help somebody else, what you're telling me is that I'm a slave, not only to that person, but to the system, the middleman, who's dictating what part of my life that I owe to that person. I mean, whatever the good, the product is, it doesn't matter if it's birth control, it doesn't matter if it's free health care, it doesn't matter. You're telling me now that from the government point of view, which is being discussed on, you know, or it just got done being discussed in the Supreme Court, that I owe you part of my life from the get-go. That's modern-day slavery, guys, and I absolutely would not tolerate it.
Oh, so then you would also equate it then with Obamacare, with welfare, unemployment, and so forth?
Oh, absolutely. It's a government takeover. It's them trying to change, like, you know, President Barack Obama said, you know, we have to change the fundamental makeup of the country. I think he wasn't kidding around. I think that's exactly what this bill was meant to do. It was to change the dynamic between the American citizen and the government, where Now we, the citizens, derive our power from the government and not God. So it, you know, a total 180 from what our founding fathers had intended.
Now we got someone in the chat room asking a question. Stefan Vandergast wants to know how you stand on the war on drugs. That's kind of a vague question, but you know, what is your opinion about it right now?
Right now, it's a total failure. It's a total failure. Like the war on poverty is a total failure. It's these wars that we don't talk about that were actually started by progressives that have made no difference, but have wasted billions and billions, if not more, of the American taxpayers' money. You know, if we were truly free and we as a society, we actually knew what true freedom was, let the market dictate it. You know, if I personally, I'm not a drug user. It's my choice. It's my state of mind. It's the way I want to be. However, you know, if a person can use drugs recreationally and not hurt anybody, you know, maybe that's their business. Maybe it's not a federal, you know, maybe it's up to the states because it's not outlined in the Constitution. It's not one of the powers of Congress. It's one of those questions we should be discussing, like, you know, gays in the military. We have to ask these questions. We have to be honest, and we have to measure it against the Constitution. And if we don't do that, again, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice as Americans.
It's true. It is true. Now I'm going to go into a completely different one. We're down to our like last 9 minutes. Just one last question, I guess. Fair tax or flat tax?
Fair tax.
Okay, why?
Well, I've read the books on the fair tax. I haven't read the books on the flat tax. And from what I understand of the fair tax, there's been millions of dollars invested. And what it gets at is, you know, I think they came up with the number 23% would be the national sales tax. And, you know, you also have to put in, you know, the prebate tax where people get, you know, a return for, you know, your everyday needs like bread, you know, milk, whatever. But it comes down to, do you want to pay 50% of what you earn or 23% of what you spend? And that basically boils down the fair tax.
Excellent, excellent. Our guest today has been Shane Hazel. I have been posting in the chat room his video, The Invitation, which is up on YouTube, where he's challenging President Obama and the GOP candidates to a town hall he would host as a former Marine and populated by former Marines asking questions. Shane, it has been fantastic. I want to thank you so much, and I am inviting you to come back.
Oh, I would love to, guys. Anytime you want to have me, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a great way for me to just talk. I enjoy doing this, obviously, and you guys have been exceptional hosts. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shane.
I friend requested you on Facebook. I'll send you I'll send you the information for next week's show. So hopefully you can help keep these women under control, Shane, because I'll tell you, on Blog Talk Radio, they are out of control completely.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right, Mike, I want to close off with a thank you to our Vietnam veterans, because yesterday was our Vietnam Veterans Day. Is that all right?
No, Annie, that's not all right. Of course it is. It was also my father's birthday, rest his soul. He was my dad was in the service for World War II shortly after Pearl Harbor, and he didn't get out until he was actually in Japan after the bombing. So he was in for the whole war. So it's a great tribute, Annie. Let's make it. Let's do it.
Okay. This is what I put up on my blog. This is my personal blog. You'll find it under BufordTeaParty.blogspot.com. And this is what I wrote, and I hope you share it and pass it on. 39 years ago on this date, March 30th, 1973, the final troops were withdrawn from Saigon, leading to its disastrous fall. I was a young teenager glued to the evening news, watching the reports. It wasn't like today with 24-hour feeds. I cried. I cried for a lost war, for 58,000 lost American lives, for the returning military to a nation that changed and wanted no part of them anymore, after demanding they give their all and more. I cried for the lost stature of the United States in the eyes of our enemies and the future that faced those who we abandoned in Asia. Our military men and women were returning home silently and disappearing into the cracks of society, while others fell completely into oblivion in medical facilities or homeless, forgotten. There were no homecoming parades. Government for decades denied Agent Orange syndrome, and vets were dying without proper treatment or compensation. Those that wore their uniform home were spat upon and called baby killers. So many took their uniforms off, grew their hair long, and tried to forget a failed war, indifferent society, and an incompetent government. Some veterans of previous conflicts called the returning vets crybabies and hypochondriac. Post-traumatic stress disorder was not even recognized, as were the cancers and other illnesses caused by Agent Orange, which was completely denied and criticized. No parades, no media coverage honoring the heroes, no one to say thank you. 11 years of a war, and this nation tried to forget and ignore. Yesterday, by executive proclamation, President Barack Obama declared March 29th Vietnam Veterans Day. Finally, this nation recognizes these veterans who were either drafted or volunteered to defend the interests of these United States of America. Finally, this nation is saying thank you. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. This nation owes you a debt that can never be repaid. I want to thank everyone here for listening here to Southern Sense. Today is Friday, so we will be back again Tuesday at our same bat time, same bat station. Mike, final thought?
That was beautiful, Annie. That was beautiful. God bless America. God bless our troops. And, you know, God bless Shane and his family. We are going to make this happen. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So we'll see you again Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Good night, and God bless.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American.
American, American, American.